Blog Talk Radio.
There were some clouds, they were rolling through the sky, and they brought down all the rain. And there was a puddle that became a pond as it gathered up so much rain. Little seed close by grew into a tree as it soaked up so much rain.
Good evening. This is Thomas, host of The Philosophy Show, blogtalkradio.com/philosophy. It is June the 2nd, 2016, 12:30 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Call-in number, if you'd like to call in, is area code 646-929-1344. Again, that's area code 646-929-1344. And today's episode, I have titled it Lifestyles of the Working Class and Unknown. It's a pun on the rich and famous, if you remember that show. This is a Feel the Burn story. It's a story for you. And it premieres on June the 7th, 2016. Next Tuesday will be pretty much the final wrap-up of the states for the Democrat Party primary elections. And on that date, it might be known as a date known by future historians or herstorians when we the people took a giant leap forward in the evolution of our American Revolution. Because that's a date where Bernie Sanders could actually win. And so I have written a couple articles. I'm in the middle of writing one right now. And I have posted them at the TomHartman.com, T-H-O-M, Hartman with two N's, .com. And I'm on there as Libertarian Progressive. And I just wrote one article, and right now I'm writing this one with the same title pretty much. And so I'll read those to you. And so I'm making the case for the people who are going to be voting in California and New Jersey and the other states that are voting on that final Tuesday to vote for yourself, vote for Bernie Sanders. He still has a chance. If he wins California and New Jersey by like 67% or so, he's going to win. And besides that, he can still make a case to the superdelegates. He can still maybe see if Hillary gets indicted for her email scandals. Those are still possibilities. But and then if he doesn't win, then we're going to be left with Hillary Clinton versus Donald Trump, who are the two most unpopular candidates ever. Factually, this is by polls, to be running. And then you have Gary Johnson, the Libertarian candidate, and Jill Stein, the Green Party candidate. And honestly, I mean, if it's those two, I might vote for Gary Johnson or Jill Stein. But it would be good. I mean, with four candidates running, I mean, only one of them would need to win like 26% possibly to be the winner. And if there's three main candidates, only someone would need to win 34% to win. It kind of reminds me that, you know, Hillary Clinton is the wife of Bill Clinton, who was elected president in 1992, and the only reason he really won is because Ross Perot was also running as an independent, and but he was also running against the first George Bush, and lots of things. I wrote an article here, and I'm going to you here, and it's called How Bernie Sanders Should Respond Regarding the Question of Hypocrisy About Superdelegates. So it's a short article, and then I'll read as much as I can of the other article. This one's more to the point of the subject matter. It says, June 7th is getting close. June 7th might be a date known by future historians or herstorians when we the people took a giant leap forward in the evolution of our American Revolution. If the people vote for candidates Bernie Sanders in numbers where he wins California, New Jersey, and the other states on that date, and the people carry Bernie over the finish line to have at least, or at last, more pledged delegates than Mrs. Clinton, then he can make a super case to be the nominee. However, if he doesn't get the majority of pledged delegates, he has said he will argue the case to the superdelegates to nominate him anyways. Now, some minds have questioned if this is hypocrisy, and I say no, it isn't, and I will give you the reason why. The reason is, let me first say, that I do propose in future years that we get rid of superdelegates once and for all, and also have open primaries, of course. Now, with that out of the way, let me explain why this is not hypocritical at all for this year. The reason is because you cannot change the rules in the middle of the game and call that fair unless the change rules make it equally fair for both competitors. So, if the superdelegates from the beginning of the campaign season had never thrown their blind support behind one candidate, and if that one candidate never had the media reporting it as an advantage, and if the media also never reported the tallies, the current totals per se, with the superdelegates included, then maybe an argument could be made that whoever wins the pledged delegates wins it all this year. However, since that is not the case, and since the beginning of the campaign season, the media has reported the superdelegates along with the pledged delegates, making it seem that one candidate's lead is larger than what it actually is, counting them all this time as part of the complete totals, then it is fair game for Bernie to court the superdelegates even if he doesn't have the majority of the pledged delegates. Furthermore, if he does win the pledged delegate counts, with that biased reporting, along with the entire establishment from governors, the Democratic Party itself, favorable districts opening or closing early, non-open primaries, media coverage time compared to Trump and Hillary, he had a lot less media time, the debates being held on non-primetime hours, media companies not disclosing their donations to one particular candidate, like CNN donating to Hillary Clinton, having no super PACs, and etc., then his case is pretty airtight. Also, if congresspersons, Democratic ones specifically, care about having the best opportunity for a majority or a large turnout this year, and if they care about having the strongest candidate run against Trump and the future of the Democratic Party, then Bernie has a rock-solid case to make for his nomination. If people want a candidate who effectively reaches all people, the full spectrum, and if they want to more successfully court the largest block of voters, the independents, who are the largest block of voters, then Bernie is the candidate to cast your vote for. His integrity is his appeal, and if we really want to draw a line in the sand regarding the influence of money in politics and a future we can actually believe in, and a process to make it so, then Bernie is the individual who is best suited in the general election. He's leading in all the polls against Trump and Clinton. In fact, if he did run as an independent, he most likely would win. If we had rank voting, he would also most likely win. Why, in a democratically elected republic, shouldn't the most popular candidate be on the general election ballots? Now, just a quick PS, I forgot to even mention the private email server problems Clinton's having. Just a thought on that. It would be nice from a historical perspective for future Freedom of Information Act requests to be able to know what happens during her term, even if it's decades later in an administration. If we were truly transparent, we would have access much sooner than decades later. I think it is very sad that we're still only just uncovering or scratching the surface of Nixon's audio history, it seems. Why don't we have Fords or Carters or Reagans or the first Bushes or Bill Clinton's and the second Bushes' records by now? Might it be that they are covering up for one another? And wouldn't another Clinton or Bush push these dates back even further, kind of like how patents push back how long they can patent? So the powerful protect their knowledge and power to cover up for their friends and family, actually, when you think about Bush's and Clinton's. And if Hillary is elected, we might not even have the complete records the way she does things. And you should look up on Wikipedia the Presidential Records Act. I mean, we don't even have the records for the last couple of presidents. I mean, the last one we actually still have records for is Richard Nixon, who was back in the 1960s. So it'd be good to know what's going on in there. Now, I started to write another article about making a last case appeal, a pitch, closing arguments for electing Bernie Sanders. I thought one cool campaign ad would be called No Laughing Matter, and it could start with Hillary's nervous laugh. I mean, anytime she doesn't want to answer a question, she just laughs it away. She just literally just starts laughing, and she's kind of known for that. And then the ad currently asks questions. It asks, who is not currently being investigated by the FBI? Who beats Trump by the largest margins in polls? Who has the most support and appeals to the widest audience in general election polls? Who has won 11 out of the last 17 primaries? Of course, Bernie Sanders. Who voted against the bank bailouts? Bernie. Who voted against the Patriot Act? Bernie Sanders. Who voted against the trade deals? Bernie Sanders. Who voted against the Iraq war? Bernie Sanders. Who will support a living wage? Bernie Sanders. Who will save on medical costs via Medicare for All? Bernie Sanders. Who will invest in infrastructure at home? Bernie Sanders. Who will invest in energy sources of the future? Bernie Sanders. Who will end the war on drugs? Bernie Sanders. Who will, instead of the status quo, invite reform and renaissance, fair election processes, etc.? Bernie Sanders. Who will invest in education and the workforce of the future? Bernie Sanders. Who will not and has not come to money in politics? Bernie Sanders. I also think when he has his rallies, and you can watch a lot of them on YouTube and stuff, you know, he opens it up to more of a town hall, you know, maybe talk for the first half an hour and then the last 45 minutes have questions from the audience more so. I think that is more fun and gives them a chance to really expand on issues, and you can see him interacting with people, which is what I think people like to see, and not afraid of being open and transparent and possibly getting a lot of good framed questions. Another campaign ad I think would be cool would be imagine a Bernie Sanders cabinet and show lots of people, you know, where people can envision a non-Goldman Sachs or non-Monsanto administration. I think another one could be called separation of corporation and states, to just kind of like the separation of religion and states. Basically, it's the same idea. I mean, religion is a big organization, and you don't want it to influence the states. Corporation's a big organization, kind of top down, that you don't want to influence the state. And the argument is to preserve businesses and the public government. And I think Bernie should announce a conservative or libertarian to be in his administration to head getting rid of crony capitalism. Also, maybe to end the war on drugs. Issues per se that will not conflict between the two philosophies of libertarians or progressive, but build excitement while reaching across the aisle that both sides agree on those kind of issues. Another one I was thinking about is you could call it a sea change. What has factually in the past changed public opinion quickly? And really, the only thing I can think of is war. I mean, that has changed public opinion, like, within a day. Mostly war. I mean, public opinion has changed, but has taken weeks, days, years, decades. What has changed it instantly usually is war. And there is a war going on, but you don't know it. Crony socialism, crony capitalism, however you want to phrase it, socialism for the multinational corporations or crony capitalism is a war against you. These multinational corporations will have you train your replacements. They will force repeat business from you, whether you like it or not. They will tell the people to let them eat cake and let them drink lead, like what's happening in Michigan. What kind of person or institution thinks that they're even relevant with a 5% approval rating? The answer, well, either a thug or a rapist, but also the corporate media and the current Congress, they both have like 5% approval ratings, according to Gallup polls. They want austerity for you, but contracts ensuring that they get bailed out. And then another ad I thought would be interesting is, why did the Trump, the cowardly lion, cross the yellow brick road? To get away from losing a debate. He chickened out from a debate against Bernie when he said he would do it. And likewise, why did the wicked witch of the West, Hillary, fly away from the debate? For the same reason, because she knows she'd lose. So, you know, if you're like a boxer and you challenge someone and they said they were willing to do it, but then they back out, you can definitely claim victory, and he should. I mean, he's the only one willing to debate the issues, and he should get credit for that, and he should use that. So I started on that, and then here's a couple notes I've had for this last week. What is living in a tyranny? Quotas, being judged on likelihood instead of an individual. You know, in the United States, when we built our Constitution, every individual has a right to know their accusers, to know what they're being accused of, to have legal defense, to have a fair trial, to be judged by a group of their peers, to have the standard of, you know, innocent until proven guilty, to be proven beyond a reasonable doubt, to have a speedy trial and not be held or have excessive bail, not to have their house or persons or places or things confiscated, you know, the freedom of speech and et cetera, freedom to defend themselves. And nowadays, it seems like, you know, with the mix between corporation and state, and this is what Republicans love, they want to have a government that's run like a corporation. And a corporation just cares about the bottom line, especially publicly traded corporations where they're just kind of an entity on their own, because they only care what the shareholders want, and the shareholders want more profits because they have shares and they want their stocks to go up. So they're going to support laws that create trade deals that, you know, ruin the middle class and fire their workers so they can hire cheap labor overseas, and et cetera. And, you know, they want things that are based on statistics. I mean, the house never loses. You know, this is a game of musical chairs, and they're going to make sure that, you know, you're going to be the one without the chair at the end. You know, they would have pre-crime because it's more safe. You know, if your DNA subjects you to crime or whatever, or to speak out or to be a revolutionary, to be like a Martin Luther King Jr. or a whistleblower, Edward Snowden, or the person who released the Pentagon Papers that stopped the Vietnam War, people that have done positive change that goes against the system, you know, you're more likely to not fit into the status quo. And, you know, you could get tickets or be penalized without those Bill of Rights that I just mentioned in the beginning, to have, you know, this standard of guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. You know, they want you to vote for who's winning. They want likelihoods. That's the way businesses work. I mean, businesses, you know, in the future probably will hook people up so they scan your brainwaves and stuff. And if they sense that you're thinking about, you know, the ball game later tonight instead of working, I mean, of course, you know, you shouldn't spend time on emails and doing stuff while you're working that isn't work related. I don't disagree with that, but they're going to take it to a perverse level of reading your brainwaves if they could. You know, they'll hire robots. I mean, where you're only programmed to work, and if they'll make sure that you had plenty of sleep the night before. If you come in on only five nights of sleep, then maybe you don't deserve to be paid as much as your regular salary is, because you're probably not as likely to be as productive. I mean, it'll be as Orwellian as that. Or if you didn't eat the right stuff to be nutritionally at your, you know, where you can be all that you can be. I mean, that is what tyranny is. I mean, corporations will just own whole neighborhoods, and everyone will, you know, live in a deed-restricted community, their house owned by the corporation, and you can be kicked out at any time, and you'll probably have a bugle boy going around on a bicycle going, doo-doo-doo-doo, it's like time to wake up, time to go to work. You know, so hopefully we don't get into that. I mean, we're already like in a 1984 society where people are afraid to say stuff. I mean, you know, sometimes I wonder if, like, what I say or the Google searches I do or et cetera is being monitored, or, you know, I mean, already having the results of my Google searches customized to what I like, or not to what I like, because I like to explore things and learn new things that I might not even think of, you know, but if it's just being customed to past searches, then I'm not going to get that. So you have to work around stuff like that. And so it's a game. I mean, that is the new logic. It's a game, and it's about demagoguery, and, you know, it's a game of musical chairs. They're the house, per se, kind of like a gambling kind of an analogy, and they always win. And just like gambling, it's just like musical chairs. And so now I do, that doesn't mean, you know, I want to guarantee everyone's results. No, I think people should just have as fair as the possibility of an equal, just like a good game would be a game where people start at the same starting point. You know, they don't have rigged finish lines. Now that means someone does win and someone loses, right? I do believe in that. I believe in competition. I believe in winners and losers, but I believe everyone having the same starting points. You know, you don't have the gun go off on a race against earlier for someone else, you know, and now someone might have the ability to respond faster, and that's fine. That's a fair game, you know, but, you know, one person can't be taking steroids and et cetera, and that's the problem. And, you know, and that's the social contract. That's what we agree upon. I mean, you know, so I'm not really, I'm an independent. I don't want to classify myself as, you know, someone, you know, sometimes people are introverted. Sometimes people are extroverted. Sometimes people believe more in a community. Sometimes people are more independent. And sometimes people are that way at different points in their life, or depending on the mood that they're in. And people should have a right to be all those things, you know, but there's a base level, just like the Bill of Rights is a base level, something that we all can agree upon, like the 99.9% of us. And so, and the reason, do I agree with Bernie Sanders on everything? No. No, I don't. I don't agree with him on a lot of things, but his integrity, I agree with. He's a real person. He's a real human being. He believes in what he says. The stuff that most people might be scared about, he's not going to be able to pass. in Congress. But the things that, you know, he's not going to hire Goldman Sachs in his administration or Monsanto. He's going to be for transparency. He's going to be for helping independents and third-party candidates make it easier for them to get on the ballots. He's going to instigate peace instead of instigate war. He's going to instigate more objectivity and open debates. You know, he's a lot better than Hillary Clinton, who voted all the issues I mentioned earlier, voting for the war. And, you know, I mean, that's a huge thing. He should be rewarded on his good judgment. And there's a lot more, the bailouts. I mean, that's most Republicans voted for the bailouts. They're the real socialists. I'm sick of all the hypocriticism of, like, people calling him a socialist. You know, it's the Republicans who are socialists. They're the ones who voted for the bailout and supporting the military industrial and wanting austerity for you. So, and he is a middle finger to the establishment, even more so than Trump. You know, Trump, I think he's a divider. I mean, he's an instigator, and so is Hillary Clinton. I mean, and I don't have to convince you, Bernie Sanders already does have the highest percentage rates in the general election when you ask independents who are like half the voting block, and then the other quarter is like Republicans and Democrats. Did you know that? Did you know that there's more independents than Republicans or Democrats? So we are the majority. You know, we are the ants. Make a stand. Vote for Bernie this June 7th. Make it a part of the Renaissance, the history of the evolution of the American Revolution. I mean, why, you know, he is the one who's winning, but why just, you know, I don't understand people voting for who they think is going to win. You're voting to make someone the winner. And we should make it easier for independents. And, you know, I hope Gary Johnson of the Libertarian and Jill Stein are in the presidential debates. They deserve to be. You know, I don't think there should be 30 people on the stage, but there isn't going to be. It's an uphill battle to even get on that many ballots. So there's never going to be more than like 4 or 5. And you look at the countries like, you know, where we wouldn't say they're uncivilized, like in Western Europe, most of those changes are because they do have 3 or 4 parties running. And so I think next week's show is going to be on, I think I'm going to title it Instigate Peace. And something we need to do is instigate peace. I mean, I'm sick of this arguing and calling people names. Argue the arguments. Argue the issues. You know, I'm sick of people on the left and the right arguing, you know, calling people name calling, or at least argue the issue first, then maybe call them a name. But don't call them a name without having an argument behind it, you know. And so, I mean, I see a lot of people being very divisive, and we do need to stand together if we're going to make positive change. And where do we start? The things we agree upon. What do you prioritize about the things you agree upon, like the war on drugs, like the empire spending we have? If you look at the budgets, half of our budget goes to foreign spending. You include the military budget, occupying Iraq and the whole Middle East. Do you think if there wasn't oil in the Middle East, we'd even be there? Ask yourself that. We got less than a minute here, and this has been The Philosophy Show. Appreciate you listening in. Be a part of it. Share, subscribe, etc. Call in 646-929-1344. Give me a show idea. Call in. We can talk about love, everything. It doesn't have to be all politics. So take care. But to me, I see it in a symbiotic way. It all kind of comes together anyways. And so, you know, until then, argue the issues. We'll be right back. yes, by the way, whoever called in last week, I'm so sorry that this is a half an hour show. It does let me do overdrive, overtime for 15 more minutes. It cut off automatically. I did not hang up on you, and I appreciate you give me a call back if you'd like some time. Anyways, until next week, let's instigate peace and arguing the arguments, not senseless name calling.